Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And this sermon series that we've broken it down to is called Under the Influence. And in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is actually teaching to a large group of people. And it's a message that he prepared. Like, he spent time preparing, and really, what do these people need to hear in order for them to live the best life that my Father has planned for them? What do they need to hear? And he spent time alone with his Father listening as he prepared for this huge message that he preached to this hillside of people. And in this particular section, he was really talking just about, like, things that cause us to be influenced by other people, things that how we influence other people, because you and I, no matter what we're doing, we are always under somebody's influence. Do you know that? We're always under someone's influence. And no matter what, we're always influencing someone. We always are looking to someone, and someone's always looking to us. Even as children. And the amazing thing, even as children, we all have a choice. Even children have a choice as to whether or not they're going to follow the influence of the parents that God put in their lives. Right? You and I have a choice as to whether or not we're going to follow the influence of Jesus. And we live in a culture where it's kind of like, is the right word popular? I don't know if that's the right word. But it's trendy, thank you. It's trendy to get coaching, right, from people, to have life coaches or mentors, you know, and typically, like, it costs some money to have these people. And I'm going to tell you, this group, the exact same thing that I said in the last service. It's not in my note, but it's something that God really put on my heart. If you are paying someone to coach your life forward, it had better be someone who has paid tens of thousands of dollars to be properly educated in psychology, and that they better be a licensed counselor if you're paying them money to help you navigate life. Someone who just got, they are a recognized coach from this program, don't you give them your money, right? Don't give them your money. Because in the Word of God, we find the most amazing life coach we could ever find. His name is Jesus. His name is Father God. And it doesn't cost us a penny. Listen, counseling is important. And sometimes we need help. We need the help of a professional to get over some humps in life. Make sure you're paying your money to the right professional and not a fake professional. Whoa. Okay, moving right along to the message series. In our world, in the church world, the big C, like church as a whole, this kind of influence where we are like, we look to other people and other people look to us, it's called discipleship. And we should all be involved in discipleship in some way. We should all be being discipled by people, by Jesus. We should also be discipling other people. That's what God created us to do. He didn't just create us to show up on Sunday morning and have a nice Holy Ghost time and then go home and live about our own lives. He created us to be in community together, to sharpen each other, to hold each other accountable, and to walk through the hard things together. And Jesus asks us to be his disciples. He gives us an opportunity to follow him as his disciples, as he leads us, right? And so, as we conclude this sermon series under the influence, it's important to remember that Jesus is asking you to be under his influence. As we sang that song this morning, I just want more of you, God, more of you. And that all sounds great. I mean, I want more of God. I want more of his presence in my life. But you know what? If I don't get rid of some of the crud that's still there, when he pours into me, it just falls off onto the ground because there's no room for it. Right? Today's message title is Exponentially More. It goes back to our phrase for the year 2023, where we've been talking this entire year about how if we want to have more of God's presence, it's going to cost us more. You want more of God? What are you willing to say no to have more of him in your life? There is so much more. There's exponentially more, more than you can ever think or imagine. That's biblical, that God has for you. But he can't just lay it all at you at once. It's a series of steps in obedience and of us like sacrificing some things in order for us to get what he has for us. What it looks to be under the influence of someone is to spend time with them, to listen to what they're saying, to ask questions, and to do the hard things that they ask us to do. And last week, Pastor Sheree did an incredible job about how we align our prayers with God's heart for us. I was thinking about that this week as we were talking to our son about getting an alignment on his car, because he was saying, like, when he goes downhill and he puts on the brake, his steering wheel kind of shakes. I'm like, well, that's because you need to have an alignment. You need to have something balanced on your car. And God just kind of spoke to me, and he's like, everyone needs an alignment now and then, right? Everyone needs to get put up on that platform and make sure that everything is in balance and in check. But what does that take? It takes time. It costs us some things, right? And as Pastor Sheree talked to us about aligning our prayers and what we're talking to God about with God's heart, Jesus then steps into the next part. And he asks us, no, he doesn't ask us, he tells us, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You know, without further ado, let's just dive into today's passage. You'll figure out where we're going just by reading. Here we go. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Hold on, Pastor Paula. Did you just say fasting? Is that what that said? And when you fast? That is not what I signed up for. Oh, but it is. You want exponentially more? You signed up for fasting. Just saying. You want more? This is what you signed up for. Now, Jesus is talking to a group of people. This is why he didn't go into great detail in this, because he's talking to a group of people who this has been part of their religious practice for years. Fasting was normal to this group of people. They all knew exactly what was meant when Jesus said, and when you fast. Because in their religion, in the Jewish religion, fasting was just built into the disciplines of their practicing. Yep, I'm just going to say it. I'm saying, do I want to say that? Yep, I do. In America, we have had it very easy as compared to some other countries. We, for the most part, don't know what it looks like to go without. We don't. And I was listening to a teaching about fasting. And he said, I think it was John Mark Comer. And he said, we don't know how to feast and delight in feasting because we don't know how to fast. That's what he said. We don't know. We've forgotten the art of sitting down to a beautifully prepared, wholesome, healthy meal and being like, oh, this is so good. Because we have forgotten the art of fasting, of depriving ourselves of the things that we want, even that we need for a period of time. We don't know how to enjoy the things that we have because we don't know how to discipline our bodies to go without. What the heck is fasting? What is fasting? Well, let me tell you, when Jesus is talking about fasting in this passage, this is what it is. Fasting is a believer's, and when I say a believer's, that means if you're sitting here and you've recognized that I need Jesus, that he is now the Lord of my life, I believe that he died for my sins, he made a way for me to enter into eternity, you're a believer, okay? So fasting is a believer's voluntary absence from food for spiritual purposes. Well, Pastor Paula, does it have to be food? Like, can't I give up of something else? Fasting from food is the only type of fasting that you'll find mentioned in the Bible. Okay? I hear so many people like, well, I'm going to fast social media. You can take a break from social media. You absolutely should. I was sharing in first service that I've come to the conclusion that I don't believe there's very many benefits to social media. So, yes, you should actually take a break from social media. But it is not fasting. You can't call it a fast. Oh, well, I'm just going to, like, I'm going to, like, take a break from watching TV. You should. Absolutely. We should all take breaks from things that fill our time and take away time from spending time with God. But it's not fasting. You're not fasting television. You're taking a break from it. You're not fasting social media. You're taking a break from it. You're not fasting family drama. You're taking a break from it, right? You can't trade one for the other. If God is starting to speak to you about fasting, he's not talking about social media. He's talking about food. Well, what about if I have a medical condition that prevents me from fasting? Jesus knows your medical condition. And if he's calling you and he's saying, I want you to fast for this amount of time, then you need to ask him, well, what about this? What does it look like to fast if I am type 2 diabetic? What does that look like? How can I do that, Jesus? I promise you, he has an answer. He does. He wouldn't call you to do something that he doesn't know how to walk you through. Okay? And when we fast from food, we then take the time that we would normally spend eating a meal, and we replace that with conversation with God. We're spending time with him. And there's always a purpose behind our fast, right? If you are just fasting to say that I'm fasting, you will be miserable and you will probably fail. But if there's something going on in your life and God's like, you know what? I want to talk to you about that, and I want you to take some time and fast and talk to me about that. That's him saying, this I want to talk to you about. I have fasted for a lot of different things. I've fasted for things regarding my family, my kids, my marriage, my work, our ministry. Because sometimes God has a lot to say. And he wants us to sacrifice and give up a little bit so that we can hear him a little bit more clearer. And so we're giving up time that we would normally spend eating to spend time with him and talk to him about those things. Anytime that we read about a person fasting in the Bible, they're talking about food. I could give you a lot of verses, and I could have gone into detail today, but it's 12:30. I have 15 more minutes, and I gotta go. But here's what I can tell you. If you look in the book of Esther, you'll read about Esther's fast. Daniel, David, there's many instances where Daniel talks about fasting. Jesus fasted. Jesus would never ask you to do something that he hasn't already done. And he did it, right? And when we're fasting, we should use our hunger cues to pull us into conversation with God. Oh man, my stomach is growling and I'm hungry. Oh, that's right, I'm fasting. Jesus, let's talk about this. Why am I fasting? Let's talk about this reason. Oh, I have a headache. Gosh, it's because I'm fasting, I'm hungry. That's right, Jesus, let's talk about this. Use your hunger cues as ways to pull you into conversation with Jesus. That's the purpose of fasting. So, what is fasting? There it is. The next thing is this. Fasting is an expectation. Did you catch that in what Jesus was saying? Let's go back to that. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, ... He didn't say, if you so choose to fast, if you're so inclined, he said, when? As if he knew it's going to happen, I'm going to ask you to do it, and when you do it, here's what it should look like. It's not an option. You want exponentially more? You have to be willing to do the hard things to do it. The next thing is this. Fasting is personal. Let's go back to our anchor verse this week. And when you fast, don't make it obvious. Don't make it obvious. And what Jesus was saying was that, obviously, if you have to talk about it and teach about it, it's because it's been happening, right? If it hadn't been happening, why would he say anything about it? Right? We don't talk about, like, poor behavior at the dinner table that hasn't happened, right? We talk about things that have happened, like we don't want it to look like that. And so what was happening in this time is that people would go around like with their hair uncombed and their face unwashed, and they would look dirty and disheveled and just like, I'm fasting. I can't because I'm fasting. Oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go to the tabernacle with you, but I'm fasting. Right? Hey, do you want to go out for dinner with me tonight? Oh, I can't. I'm fasting. You go ahead and have a good time. Oh, sure, I'll come, but I'm just going to have water because I'm fasting. No. Jesus said, if you do that, the admiration you get from people for being obedient and fasting is all you get. You're not going to get anything else. Instead, he said this, wash your face and comb your hair. And, you know, don't be afraid to put on a little makeup too, ladies, if you're like me. Like, if I don't have makeup on, I look like I just crawled out of bed. So I'm going to paint the barn. That's what I said in the first service, and I got heckled. Right? Okay? Look good. Be happy about what you're doing. Hey, you want to go out for dinner tonight? You know what? Catch me next time. I got plans tonight. I got a date with Jesus. Him and I are talking tonight, right? This shouldn't be something that's like miserable. Yes, of course, not eating is not necessarily fun because we live in America. And Americans, they don't eat to live. Americans live to eat, right? It's so true. And so it's very easy to feel like, oh, I can't go with you because I'm fasting, but I will next time. Oh, why aren't you eating lunch today? Oh, I'm fasting. No. If you make it obvious, then the recognition you get from people is all you're going to get. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but let me tell you something. If I'm fasting for a purpose, I don't want the recognition of man to get in my way. No one needs to know about it because, listen, Jesus and I have some business to take care of, and I'm giving up food to hear an answer on this, and no man is getting in my way. So you don't get to know my business, right? The last thing is this: fasting is rewarded. He said that. Fasting is rewarded. If we go back to our verse, it says, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Fasting causes Father God to sit up and take notice. There's many places in the Bible where it talks about our prayers going up like incense and surrounding the throne of God. And that just sounds beautiful, right? Like our prayers and our conversations to him, just going up and surrounding him and being like, yes, I hear you. I see that. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation a couple of times. It's mentioned in Psalms. And I heard a teaching once, and it said this: if prayer alone is like incense going up, then prayer partnered with fasting is like a bonfire. And all of a sudden, Father God is like, whoa, what's going on down there? And it caused them to step out of this cloud of incense and look at the fire burning. Like, she's doing business. She means business. That's a powerful prayer right there. I'm going to take more notice to that. Fasting is rewarded. I had some friends in Missouri who our pastor had called the church to a 3-day fast. And they were kind of like trying to figure out like, okay, God, what do you want us, like, what's our focus of this? Like, what are we wanting to do? And he had actually been talking to them about having a fourth child. They'd never planned on having a fourth child. They were quite happy with their three kids. And he was talking to them about having a fourth child. And they wanted to be obedient, but I forgot to mention that their three kids were three boys. And they were very wild. They were wild boys, right? And this is what they said: God, if you want us to have a fourth child, we'll be obedient. But we really want a girl. We really want a girl. And so they stepped into this three-day fast that our pastor called the church to, saying, like, that's our focus. We're just praying that God will bless our obedience and give us a girl. And every time they missed a meal, they prayed for their little girl. And every time their stomach growled, they prayed for their little girl. Every time they felt edgy and grumpy because they were hungry, they prayed for their little girl. And 6 months later, they found out that the baby they were expecting was a little girl. Because they had partnered their prayers with fasting. This was the cry of their heart. God, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do what you ask us to do. But here's what we're just asking you for this. Can you step into this? When we're obedient to what Father God asks us to do, he listens. We get his attention. And we experience exponentially more.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.